Talk about caring for the body, temple or idol. Let me read some quotes that I've picked up that kind of put this in perspective to a degree. Kind of take it out of perspective too. They claim red meat is bad for you, but I never saw a sick-looking tiger. Red meat is not bad for you. Now, blue-green meat, that's bad for you. Life expectancy would grow by leaps and bounds if green vegetables smelled as good as bacon. A bad cold wouldn't be so annoying if it weren't for the advice of our friends. Eat right, exercise regularly, die anyway. One old fellow, if I'd known I was going to live so long, I'd have taken better care of myself. I think he was probably 80. What some call health, if purchased by perpetual anxiety about diet, isn't much better than tedious disease. So let's talk about this a little bit. Contrast caring for the body as a temple or as an idol. I'd like for you all to turn to 1 Timothy 4, 7, and 8, because that's sort of our guideline for this session, how we're going to handle this session. 1 Timothy 4, 7, and 8. Paul says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Now that word train or exercise there, or discipline, depending on what translation you're using, is the Greek word from which we get our English word gymnasium. And God is commanding you and I as believers to expend much energy, much hard work and effort and sweat to become godly, because he wants us to be more like him. He says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And it's a very interesting, helpful contrast here in these verses between bodily discipline and godly discipline. He says, bodily training is of some value. It has a little benefit for a little time. He's not teaching against bodily discipline. He's making a significant contrast between that and godly discipline, because godly discipline affects both this life and our life to come. Godliness has more than temporary benefit. It has eternal benefit. And we'll take to heaven with us all the good works that we've done in this life. So we ask the question, how should you treat the body? After all, you only have one life. You only have one body. So how do you treat it? And in this present body, we'll not live forever, because the curse of sin says and mandates there will be deterioration as a constant factor of life. It's going to occur. Now let's talk about the words temple. What is a temple? You talk to me. We'll try and have some dialogue in this session here, at least the first part of it. What is a temple? Okay, it's a place of worship. And basically we think of temple, we should really think upon who is worshiping in the temple, and we're talking about worshiping God. A place where the Creator is worshiped. What is an idol? Lady right here, you read my notes. An idol is something that you worship. It's the creature. It's the creature. It's what's been created. It's what you worship. So we're talking about, okay, how do we treat this body? We treat it as a temple or as an idol? Well, let's look at the difference in some different ways. Let's talk about caring for the body as an idol. Now, I want to say this, and I don't mean this, I want to be this kind. I want to be kind when I say it, but I want to be realistic. The non-believer knows nothing but their body. They may talk about non-material things, and there's some of them who will try to add some other dimensions to life that are good and talk about relationships and things like that. But they really don't have a good grasp on anything beyond the body. So they want to take care of the body. And actually, what you find is if people are going to care for the body in this way, they would care for it as an idol. Now, I want you to talk to me. What are some reasons that they would give for treating the body as an idol? What would you say? Raise your hand so I can call on you and we can get the... If I can raise it high, because I don't want to say, yes. To, oh, that's good. To get admiration. Yes. Oh, wow. Do you have access to that? Eternal youth, she said. Yeah, eternal youth. Okay, that's good. What are some other reasons why that... Yes. I want to feel good. What else? Fantasy. Oh, vanity. Oh, excuse me. Vanity, yeah, okay. Healthy, yeah. In fact, you talk to the non-believer about this and they think it's better than the alternative. They don't understand the alternative. They want to put off death as long as possible. There's a dread of death. Turn to Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. I want us to understand this a little bit. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Because the author of Hebrews tells us something that's very significant as we deal with this worship, of this caring for the body as an idol. And the author says in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, "Inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver those and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." The non-believer lives in bondage to the fear of death. People ask me about health issues in our culture, about this kind of thing and that kind of thing. And I say, you know what? I don't really worry about those things because the non-believers are so afraid of death and illness, they're going to take care of it. They're going to police the system. And so there's this whole fear of death that's there. And sickness is unpleasant. They don't have any answers for life when they're sick. It's unpleasant. That's all there is to life to the non-believer. The body is the most important part of life, so they have many health measures. We have numerous health measures because to the non-believer, it's all there is. It's treated as an idol. Now, I think we also see something else that's a part of this. And we're taught this, and you can pretty well figure out where this is coming from. Good health is a right. And what that means is it's up to somebody to make sure you have that right. It's a sign of strength. It affects your lifestyle. Somebody, namely the government, is required to make sure you have that right, you have good health. And somebody once said, well, good health keeps the health premium insurance down, or insurance premiums down. So we have all these things that we could talk about, treating the body as an idol. And the bottom line is, though, it's ultimately going to die. We can't avoid that, barring the Lord's return, which I'm ready for any time. And if it came right now, you wouldn't care what else I had to say. Now, their methods. What are their methods? Let's have a few volunteers on this. So raise your hand again high so I can see. What are some methods they use to worship the idol? Extreme exercise. I had a neighbor once who jogged 7 miles a day, 365. Extreme exercise. I don't know that that was his goal, was to prevent death, but I wouldn't doubt it. What else are some methods that they use?
Diet.
Yeah, diet, definitely. All sorts of diets. I mean, you can make big bucks today off of some kind of diet program. Other methods? Yes. Supplements. Supplements. Oh, there's another place to make big bucks. Regulations. I see. Okay. Regulations. What? I'm part. Botox. Well, that's good if you want the idol to look good. I guess that's a good point. Yes. The same thing, plastic surgery.